Welcome to the Christian View Podcast. My name is Angela Roberts-Jones, and I am excited that you have tuned in. My hope is that you will be enlightened and encouraged by this view. Let's have a talk. Hello, and welcome to today's episode of The Christian View. I am so excited about our topic today. What's love got to do with it? It is my hope and prayer that you will be encouraged and enlightened by this particular topic. You know, I intended to release this topic or this episode on Valentine's Day, but I just let the date and the time get away from me. But we have a very special guest today who just encouraged me and assured me, and we're assuring you that love is appropriate, or the topic of love is appropriate for all seasons. So our topic, what's love got to do with it? Well, I'm sure you will agree with me that love has everything to do with everything. So if you look around and talk to people, you'll find that their greatest and deepest joys come from their relationships. But likewise, for many people, their greatest stress and pain comes from relationships. So we were created for a relationship, and we were not created to be alone or to be detached from people with no connection, affection, attachment, and ties. So everybody needs love. Love came from God. He is our creator, and love is the glue which holds all relationships together. So as I really studied and meditated and thought about this topic over the past 30 days, I just want to share a few pointers with you, or just a few little nuggets. But let me first introduce our guest for today. His name is Mr. Isaac Spencer, and he is founder of Agape Multimedia Corporation, and he is presently residing in Pensacola, Florida. Hello, Isaac.
Hello, Pastor. How's it going?
Going well. Thank you so much for agreeing to be our guest today. Isaac is a really good friend of mine. I've known him for several years, and as I thought about this topic, I thought it would be good just to have another male perspective on some of the things that we want to share with you today. So let me ask, when you think of the concept of love, what images come to mind? For some people, a red heart, a dozen roses, a Valentine's Day card, a special date, a physical gesture from a significant other, a hug, a kiss, someone to talk to, someone to listen to, someone to do things with, a grandmother, a mother, a father caring for a child, or someone to give gifts to, or someone to see, receive gifts from. So Isaac, what do you think about when you think about love?
Well, I don't think about some of the same things. Mostly somebody who can care for you and you can care for them. Love is also something that you give to your parents, your children. And also love is something that you give like to a church, to an organization who you really support. So I just think it's different levels and different stages of love.
Yes, you know, and I agree with that. You know, many people, we actually use the word love, you know, pretty loosely, because we say, well, I love ice cream, I love trees. You know, in the same breath, we can say we love another person. So you're so right about all of those levels of love. You know, love may be the most complex subject on the planet, but everyone needs love. As a matter of fact, God is love, and he's the best example of the nature of love. When we think about creation, you know, God created Adam and Eve to be in relationship with one another and with him. So we were created for love, and we were created for relationships. So all of those relationships that you named, Isaac, are very important and very essential, really, to our well-being and our purpose here on earth. So Gary Chapman gives 5 love languages. I know some of you out there might have heard of these. That's words of affirmation. You can words of encouragement, listening, or showing appreciation to somebody. And then secondly, physical touch or nonverbal love language, receiving gifts, that is showing somebody, you know, that you're thinking about them, or making your spouse or friend or parent or whoever you are in relationship with, making them a priority. And then number four, there's quality time. That means really, really focusing on them. And then acts of service to help them lighten their load. So the point again is that everyone needs love, and everyone needs to give and receive love in the way that they are wired, you know. Then we want to talk about three types of love. So Isaac, you want to just tell us a little bit about agape love? What's agape love?
Well, agape love, from the definition that I was always given, was it's a God type of love. And actually, when I made my company, I wanted to ensure that the images that I do, the services that I provide to churches, to organizations, to people, that I would give them that God type of love, that unconditional love, you know. So there's no, you know, like they used to say, no big I or little you. Everybody's special. Mm-hmm. Everybody's special in God's eyes.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that is true. That is what we learn, especially as Christians, that unconditional love is not necessarily reciprocal. You know, and just like you mentioned with your company, your pictures and your media and your videos are really awesome, especially the photos. So they're really awesome. But you know, unconditional love too is to accept people as they are. And you know, just to add another layer to that, I was reading also and meditating on the fact that it's difficult to give unconditional love if you don't have really the love of God in your heart. Would you say that? Would you say so?
Yes, I would agree with that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because we live in a world where people are so selfish, you know, husbands and wives and marriages and even friendships and other relationships don't really flourish because people are just selfish. You know, they love people in order to meet a certain need. But agape love, as you said, is a God kind of love where we accept people as they are and not always having an agenda. You think so?
Yes. And the agape love is sometimes they might not love you back, but because it's that agape love, you are loving them because you love, not just because somebody's going to give you love back.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yes.
Yep. The same as God did when he sent a son mm-hmm. for us. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that we can do to repay him for the love that he gave us through Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But because of what God did, it opened up a way for us to have salvation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. And then there's like phileo. That's a good explanation. Then there's phileo love. And that's like friendship, admiration type of love. And that's the kind of love that you may have for a close friend or a companion. And you know, friends are really very, very important because friends bring truth and refreshment. They bring relaxation and fun to our souls. Iron sharpens iron, as the Bible says. You know, it helps us to grow as a person when we have friends. And Proverbs 17:17 says that the wounds of a friend are better than the kiss of an enemy. And why would that scripture be true? That's because if a friend hurts your feelings by telling you the truth, or by practicing tough love by sometimes saying no, or not giving in to your every whim, you will understand that their motive is ultimately so that you may be a better person. So you can trust the motives of a real friend. So a real friend, really the agenda of a real friend is to bless you. Do you think so? How do you feel about that, Isaac?
Yes, I think so. And I think that's why it's always great to have good friends and mentors who can feed into your life and who will tell you those rough things, those hard answers that maybe somebody that is not as close to you, that they will give you that answer that you need, not just the answer that you want. So that's a serious form of love.
Yeah, and you know, that is so true, because sometimes we really can't see ourselves, and we really don't know ourselves until we are in a relationship with someone, you know, the way we interact with each other and the feedback that they give to us. And so that you mentioned mentor, that is so important as well, because we need that feedback. We need to see how we appear to others and what we're projecting to other people. That's so important and key in our, not just spiritual growth, you know, professional growth, maturing as a person, a man or woman, just growing as a person. You know, people help us to grow and become what God created us to be. And so, you know, one other thing that I realize is that, you know, when people relocate to other cities, sometimes it's because of a job, but sometimes people relocate because of relationships. You know, there are friends and even family members, but they have these life-giving relationships that mean so much and that are so important. So they find themselves relocating to areas where they can build on these relationships. Have you found that to be true, Isaac?
Yeah, actually, I have found it to actually be true in my personal life. So, and sometimes that's what you need to do.
Because God did not intend for man to be alone, right?
I didn't want to get too deep on that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We don't have to go too deep. Okay.
No, It's okay.
All right. Well, you know, moving along, because we've got some illustrations and some other great things to talk about. You know, there's a third kind of love. And actually, there are like about 4, 5, 6, 7 types of love. But the ones that I'm speaking about today are like the major types of love that we are, major categories that we speak of in general. And that third kind is eros. And it's the Greek word for longing or desire. And that's a romantic, passionate, physical, pleasure-seeking love. It's a desirable love. And this love must be balanced out eventually by other types of love, or it can become possessive, obsessive, manipulating, and controlling. And this type of love can become very unhealthy if it's not balanced, and is often bordering on mental and emotional instability. This type of love, or lust, you know, coupled with other emotional issues such as uncontrollable anger, rejection, and other emotional deficits, are the basis for domestic violence and abuse. So you see, lust is not always sexual. It's an uncontrollable desire that drives people to seek satisfaction no matter the cost. So you remember this movie, Fatal Attraction? You ever saw that movie? First old movie, Fatal Attraction, you know, where the lady was just, she was so obsessed that, you know, with this person that she loved, that she actually, you know, tried to kill him. You know, it was a horror movie, really.
And she actually killed things that he loved.
Yes, that's that controlling. And that's not love. That's just an emotional instability, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Yes, because I know back in the day, they used to talk about people who used to have that graveyard love. Oh. Who, you know, they feel like if they couldn't have you, they don't want anybody else to have you. Mm-hmm. And that's not healthy. Mm-hmm. And that's not love.
Exactly.
You know, that's just control.
Yeah, you know, I have to file that phrase, graveyard love. No, I never heard that
Graveyard
before.
love.
Graveyard, okay, that's a good one. That's a good one. You hear that out there, Christian View audience? Graveyard love. You don't want that type of love, okay? But God created us for purpose and for meaning. So because of that, love is so key and so important. You know, I was reading an illustration about actually, Ruby Dee and Ossie Davis. I looked them up because I've been fascinated by their career. And, you know, as I grew up until the time that they even passed, they were always together, you know, and that's one of the most beautiful love stories of our time. They had 50 shared 57 years of marriage, and I believe they exhibited all three types of love. And truthfully, if you are going to get married and stay married, it takes all three types of love to remain. And a good example I'd like to use is just my mother and father. They've been married for 57 years. They'll be married for 58 years in August. And so just watching how they interact with each other, and even now, at the age that they are, they enjoy one another. You know, they're friends, they sit and talk about everything, and just watching that, you know, it has been really encouraging to me. But anyway, Ruby Dee and Ossie Davis's love story spanned over 5 decades and continues to inspire many generations that believe in true love. But Ruby Dee once said in an interview, and I quote, "As I listened, I reminded myself again how deeply I loved you." This is her speaking of her husband, Ossie Davis. And she says, "Not only because I believe you value me, but also because I believe we both have arrived finally at what love is. When you want and pray for someone to be all God created them to be, despite any personal sacrifice it might entail, that is love. Love is overcoming. Love is passion, clothed in infinite patience." You know, as I read that, I just think that is so profound. You know, the fact that she said that, you know, you want and pray for someone to be all created them to be. That's love.
And actually, in that one statement, she feels like she covered all three types of love that we spoke about just a few minutes ago. Just in that one paragraph.
Just in that one paragraph, you're right. Yes, and Ossie Davis made a statement. He said, "50 years of being married, and what have I learned from it all? I say to my fellow husbands, whose eyeballs may be covered with lust, that the way to possess all women is to love one woman well. Marriage is the place where love calls home." Isn't that something?
Wow,
Yes. That's awesome. So I love to hear them speak because they are just so deep, you know. But I have other quotes, but I won't read them. I have just admired them over the years because not only were they married, they worked together. Have you ever heard couples say, "You know, I can see you at home, but I can't stay with you 24/7. I can't work with you." Have you ever heard couples say that? But isn't it amazing that they said they work together, they live together, and they love so deep, you know, because they wanted each other to be who God created them to be. So that's love, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I would. And
Ruby.
I think even just the portrait of them two, without them saying anything, a lot of people knew them as that strong couple together.
Yes. So we're going to talk a little more about even that marital love in just a minute. But Ruby Dee on The Art of Compromise made this statement. She said, "We understood that neither of us was going to leave. The wedding is an event, but marriage is a lifetime." So that's something that they made a decision. They made that decision to love one another. Do you think that's possible to make a decision to love one another?
I think it is, but it takes two people. And it takes two people to understand that and not compromise on that statement or on their love for each other.
Yes, yes. And so on that note, you know, how does love play out? You know, how do you describe it? How do you live it? How do you walk it out in relationship? You know, because love is actually, it's an action. It's not just a feeling, but it's expressed through what we do. So one way that love plays out, or how we walk it out, one way that we walk it out is that love comes from the heart, which means that it cannot be turned on and off like a faucet. Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 9 says that love must be sincere. And, you know, sincere means what? That, I mean, it's deep. It's from within. It's real. There's a devotion there, that you're honoring somebody above yourself. And so what do you think about that? Do you think you can turn love on and off when you truly love from the heart?
No, I think you can't. I think if you truly love someone, you shouldn't be able to just turn off your love for them. You know, so it makes you wonder, what were your feelings? Was it just a feeling that you felt, or was it actually true love? Because mm-hmm. I just believe true love is eternal.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is eternal. Yes. And on that note, love is bigger than you are. It's bigger than us. You know, it's bigger than human beings. It's deeper than what we really can fathom, because love comes from God and God is eternal. You know, you can invite love, but you cannot dictate how, when, and where love expresses itself sometimes. I mean, we can make decisions to say, well, I love you, so I'm going to send you some flowers. You know, I'm going to give you a call. I'm going to send a card. But when you really, really love from the heart, wouldn't you say that you would spontaneously do what's needed for that person, or to preserve or nurture the relationship, whether it's a friendship or romantic love, husband, wife, mother, father, or whatever? You know, don't you think that love responds in some way?
Yes, I do. And I just think that, I think it is the society that we have, and it's kind of like a microwave society, that, you know, sometimes we think that if we're not pleased with something, that we can just throw it away. Mm-hmm. But I think true love is for the long haul. Mm-hmm. It's not a microwave, it's an oven. So you're going to cook, and it's going to take a little while, and it's going to be there for the duration.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. I totally agree with that. Be there for the duration. So with that in mind, 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, you know, is considered the love chapter. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to take just a 2-minute, 3-minute pause here to let the audience know that this concludes part one of What's Love Got to Do with It. Stay tuned for part two. Thank you for listening to the Christian View podcast. I am so glad you joined us. Please share this podcast with your friends and family. We would love to hear your feedback. You can contact us on the web at www.thechristianview.org or the Christian View Facebook page, or via Twitter and Instagram at pastor_ARJ. We look forward to hearing from you. God bless.